That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.
This grade 12 lesson is proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
Good afternoon, Capricorn FM listeners and grade 12 learners. I am Mr. Mpapuli MT from Lichowu Secondary School, teaching agricultural science in grade 12. Today, we are going to talk about the structure of paper 1 and the questions that are frequently appeared on the question paper. I'm saying today we're going to talk about the structure of paper 1 and the questions that are frequently appeared on the question paper. Then let us start by looking at the format of the question paper. Then the format of question paper for external examination in grade 12. This external examination consists of two papers of 150 marks each, and the grand total is 300. But today we're going to talk about only paper 1, which consists of 150 marks. Then let us look at the basic outline of this paper. Paper 1, the duration of the paper is 2 hours and a half, and the main topic that are going to be set are the following: animal nutrition, animal production, protection and control, and animal reproduction. Which simply mean we've got three main topics that are going to be examined in paper 1. It's animal nutrition, animal production, protection and control, and animal reproduction. Then the question paper consists of two sections, Section A and Section B. Section A is having 45 marks and Section B is having 105 marks, giving us the total of 150 marks. Then Section A is question 1. Question 1 only. And Section B is 3 questions. Then Section A consists of the following sub-questions. It consists of multiple choice question, terminology question, column or match type of question, and the term replacement. I'm saying question 1 consists of 4 sub-questions. It's multiple choice, terminology, column, match type of question, and the term replacement. Then multiple choice consists of 10 questions. It consists of 10 questions. 10 multiplied by 2, giving us 20 marks. Terminology questions consist of 5 questions, which is 5 multiplied by 2, giving us 10 marks. Even the match type question consists of 5 questions, 5 multiplied by 2, giving us 10. And the last question, which is term replacement, consists of 5 questions, which is 5 multiplied by 1, giving us 5. Then the total is 45 marks. Then when coming to section B, we are going to have 3 questions. Each question weighing 35 marks. 35 multiplied by 3 is 105 marks. And each question is going to cover the main topic, or each of the main topic per question. And I have said we've got 3 main topics, which is animal nutrition, animal production, protection and control, and reproduction, which simply mean animal nutrition is going to have 35 marks, animal production, protection and control is going to have 35 marks, and animal reproduction is going to have again 35 marks, giving us 105 marks. 105 marks plus 45 marks of section A is 150. Then this section consists of a multiple choice question, match column type question, terminology question, and term replacement questions. This must be an equal distribution marks between the main topics, and each of these main topics will be allocated 15 marks in section A. 15 multiplied by 3 main topics is going to give us 45 marks. Then let us look at the following. Provide an indication of the format, outline, instruction, number of questions per sub-question, and mark allocation for each section. Then we've got section A, question 1. There will be different types of short questions that will be based on the following. Number 1 is multiple choice question. The instruction of multiple choice questions is as follows. Various options are provided as possible answer to the following questions. You choose the answer and write only the letter next to the question number in the answer book. For an example, 1.1, the answer is D. You are expected here to write the letter instead of writing the answer. And we are going to have 4 possible answers provided per question. We are going to have 4 possible answers provided per question. Then you choose one and write down only the letter. Good evening, Capricorn FM listeners and grade 12 learners. I am Mr. Mpapuri MT from Lichobu Secondary School, teaching agricultural science in grade 12. Today's topic is basic genetics. Then we're going to look at mono hybrid and dihybrid crossing. At the end of this lesson, learners will be able to define basic genetic terminology like genetics, heredity, genes, chromosomes, allele that are homozygous and heterozygous. And again, they should be able to distinguish between the genotype and the phenotype, dominant and recessive gene. Again, they should be able to indicate a monohybrid inheritance or crosses. And again, they should be able to indicate the dihybrid inheritance or dihybrid crosses. And again, they should be able to use various methods such as Punnett square and schematic representation to illustrate the crossing. They should be able to describe Mendel's law of segregation and independent recombination of characteristics. Lastly, they should be able to distinguish between qualitative and quantitative characteristic. I'm saying at the end of this lesson, learners should be able to define basic genetic terminology like genetics, heredity, genes, chromosomes, alleles that are homozygous or heterozygous. And again, they should be able to distinguish between the genotype and the phenotype. They should also be able to distinguish between dominant and recessive gene. They should be able to indicate monohybrid inheritance or crosses. They should be able to indicate dihybrid inheritance or dihybrid crosses. And they should be able to use various methods such as Punnett square and schematic representation to illustrate the crosses. They should also be able to describe Mendel's law of segregation and independent recombination of characteristics. Lastly, they should be distinguish between qualitative and quantitative characteristics. Then without waste of any time, let us go straight to the topic of today. We're going to start by defining the terminology or concept. We're going to define genetic terminology or genetic concept. Then let us start with the first one, which is genetics. Genetics simply means the study of heredity in living organisms. It simply means the study of heredity in living organisms. Then another concept is heredity. Heredity is the way in which characteristics are inherited. Heredity is the way in which characteristics are inherited. Then the inherited characteristics are the ones which are passed down from parents to the offspring. The inherited characteristics are the ones which are passed down from parents to the offspring. In other words, heredity is the process where characteristics are passed from parents to the offspring or from one generation to another generation. And this is an important concept because not all characteristics of organisms are inherited. It is very much important concept because not all characteristics of organism are inherited. For an example, a merino ewe will pass on the ability to produce wool to her offspring. But if the ewe's tail is docked, she will not pass this change on to the lamb because it is an acquired characteristic. Let me repeat the definition of genetics and heredity. Genetics is the study of heredity in living organism. Genetics simply means the study of heredity in living organism. Heredity is the way in which characteristics are inherited. And these inherited characteristics are the ones which are passed down from parents to the offspring. And this is an important concept. I mean, heredity is an important concept because not all characteristics of organism are hereditary. For an example, a merino ewe will pass on the ability to produce wool to her offspring. But if the ewe's tail is docked, she will not pass this change on to her lamb because it is an acquired characteristic. Then let us look at another definition, the gene or genes. Genes are short stretches of DNA which code for the production of specific protein or enzymes. Genes of animal and plants are arranged into groups on the structure called chromosome. Genes are short stretches of DNA which code for the production of specific protein or enzyme. and the genes of animals and plants are arranged into a groups on the structure called chromosome. Then let us look at chromosome. What is in a chromosome? A chromosome is a thread-like structure in the nucleus of most living cells. It is made up of nucleic acid and protein. Chromosomes carry genetic information in the form of genes and are responsible for the transmission of hereditary information. Each species has a particular number of chromosomes. For an example, a cattle have 60 chromosomes. A human have 46 chromosomes. A pea plant is having 14 chromosomes. And a crayfish is having 200 chromosomes. It means that chromosomes differ as far as the species is concerned. I will repeat the chromosome. Chromosome is a thread-like structure in the nucleus of most living cells. It is made up of nucleic acid and proteins. Chromosomes carry genetic information in the form of genes and are responsible for the transmission of hereditary information. Each species has a particular number of chromosomes. For an example, a cattle have 60 chromosomes, humans have 46, pears have 14 chromosomes, and the crayfish have 200 chromosomes. Then let us look at another definition of genetic terminology, which is alleles. The homologous chromosome pair has a gene for a particular characteristic, but they are not necessarily identical because each member of chromosome pair is derived from different parent. The two equivalent genes derived from each parent are called the alleles. I will repeat. The alleles, the homologous chromosome pair, has the gene for a particular characteristic, but they are not necessarily identical because each member of chromosome pair is derived from different parent. Then the two equivalent genes derived from each parent are called the alleles. Then we have got two, or the alleles are differentiated into two. We have got homozygous allele and heterozygous allele. We have got homozygous allele and heterozygous allele. Homozygous allele have the same type of characteristic. For an example, both gene for height code for tallness. Then heterozygous allele, that code for height will have an allele coding for tallness and allele for shortness. And again, this allele are represented by letters. The allele are represented by letters, letters in pairs. Homozygous allele, they have the same letters. If capital letter T represent tall or represent characteristic for tallness, it simply means small letter T will represent the characteristic for shortness. Then it simply means a homozygous allele is having capital letter T, or small letter T, small letter T. But a heterozygous allele represented by capital letter T, small letter T. Homo means same, hetero means different. Then let us look at the genotype and the phenotype now. We use different terms to describe the genes for genetic characteristics and the appearance of genetically determined characteristic. Then the two distinctions between the genotype and the phenotype. Then let us look at the genotype first. The two allele of chromosome pair are referred as to the genotype for a certain characteristic. The allele are represented by letters of the alphabet. Therefore, the true genotype is expressed by two letters to represent the characteristics of each member of the pair. For an example, capital letter TT, capital letter T, small letter T, or small letter TT. The capital letter denotes a dominant gene, and the small letter denotes the recessive allele, or the dominant gene. The example used applies to the allele which influence the height in pear plant. So, T stands for tall allele, and T represent short allele. I will again repeat the genotype. Two alleles of chromosomes pair are referred as to the genotype for a characteristic. The allele are represented by letters of the alphabet. Therefore, the genotype is expressed by two letters to represent a characteristics of each member of the pair. For an example, capital letter TT, small letter T, or small letter TT. Then the capital letter denotes a dominant gene, and the small letter denotes the recessive or dominant gene. Then the example used applies to the allele which influence height in a pear plant. So capital letter T stands for tall allele, and the small letter T stands for short allele. Then in case where we are having capital letter T and small letter T, it simply means that the plant is tall, because capital letter T is dominant over small letter T. Then let us look at the phenotype. The phenotype is the physical expression of genotype of an organism. The phenotype is the physical expression of the genotype of an organism. In other words, the appearance of characteristic. So the phenotype of TT, or of capital letter TT, small letter T, capital letter T, small letter T, small letter TT, represent tall and short. Capital letter TT, capital letter T, small letter T represent tall. Then small letter TT represent short. Then let us look at the dominant and the recessive genes. The dominant and the recessive genes. Some alleles are dominant over the other. For an example, in Mendel's monohybrid cross, the allele for tallness in pear plant is dominant over the allele for shortness. And the allele for tallness, it is represented by capital letter T, while the allele for shortness is represented by small letter T. Then so, the pear plant with heterozygous allele, capital letter T, small letter T, will be tall, since the tall allele dominates the allele for shortness, which is then referred as to recessive allele. In other words, the dominant allele are represented by capital letter TT, and the recessive allele are represented by small letter TT. Then in case where we are having capital letter T, small letter T, the offspring will take the characteristic of dominant allele, which is tall. This is the dominant and the recessive gene. Let me repeat this. Some of allele are dominant over the other. For an example, in Mendel's monohybrid cross, the allele for tallness in pear plant is dominant over the allele for shortness. And the allele for tallness is represented by capital letter TT, and the allele for shortness represented by small letter TT. Then in the case where we are having a heterozygous allele with capital letter T and small letter T, the plant is going to be tall, because tall allele is dominant over a short allele, and the short allele is referred as recessive allele. Then let us look at monohybrid and dihybrid inheritance now. Or before we go to the monohybrid and dihybrid inheritance, let me repeat the concept that we have discussed. We have discussed genetic and heredity, the genes, the chromosomes, the allele, the genotype and the phenotype, the dominant and the recessive gene. Let us go to short commercial break. We will be back after this. Again, the differences between dominant and recessive gene. Let me repeat this very fast. I'm saying genotype, the two alleles of the chromosome pair are referred as to genotype for a characteristic. The alleles are represented by letters of the alphabet. Therefore, the genotype is expressed by two letters to represent the characteristics of each member of the pair. For an example, capital letter TT, capital letter T, small letter T, or small letter TT. Then the capital letter donates a dominant gene, and the small letter donates the recessive or dominated gene. The example used to apply to the allele which influence the height in pear plants. So capital letter T stands for tall allele, and small letter T represent the short allele. Then let us look at the phenotype. The phenotype is the physical expression of the genotype of an organism. In other words, the appearance of the characteristic. So the phenotype of capital letter TT and capital letter T, small letter T, are tall. And the phenotype of TT, small letter TT, are short. Sorry, is short. Then let us look at the dominant and recessive genes. Some alleles are dominant over the other. For example, in Mendel's monohybrid process, the allele for tallness in pear plant is dominant over the allele for short. So a pear plant with a heterozygous allele of capital letter T, small letter T, will be tall, because the tall allele is dominant over short allele. And the short allele is then referred as recessive allele or recessive genes. Then let us look at monohybrid and dihybrid inheritance, or monohybrid and dihybrid crosses. Then let us look at the difference between the two, the monohybrid and dihybrid crosses. Monohybrid simply means the type of crosses which involve only one characteristic, while dihybrid is the type of crossing which involves true characteristic. The word mono means one, and the word tri means true. The word mono means one, and the word di means true. Then the two crossings were done by this man called Gregor Mendel. We call him the father of genetics. Then Mendel did an experiment inside the nasal. Mendel did an experiment inside the nasal where he took two plants. Mendel took two plants. The one with red color and the one with white flower. Mendel took two plants. One plant was having a red flower and another plant was having white flower. He cross-pollinated the two. Mendel cross-pollinated the two so that fertilization can take place. And he called the two plants P1, which simply means they are the first parent. I'm saying Mendel took two plants, the one with red flower and the one with white flower. Then Mendel cross-pollinated the two plants so that fertilization can take place. Mendel represents the genes for red with allele capital letter RR and the genes for white with allele small letter RR. And we have already said that capital letter denotes dominant allele and small letters denotes recessive allele. Meiosis must take place here. Meiosis must take place. Why meiosis? Meiosis perform two functions. Number one is to reduce the number of chromosomes into half. Number two is the formation of gametes. Number one is to reduce the number of chromosomes into half. Number two is the formation of gametes. Then after meiosis, gametes are formed. The gametes are formed. And our gametes are going to be capital letter R, small letter R, small letter R. Then when these gametes are formed, they separate one another and one becomes independent. After that, Mendel introduced a law which is called Mendel's law of segregation. He introduced the law which is called Mendel's law of segregation. To segregate simply means to separate. It simply means when the gametes are formed, they separate one another and one becomes independent. Then what you must bear in mind, which is very much important, is this, that one gamete of the first parent fertilizes twice in another parent. Then we've got gametes, capital letter R, and small letter R. Then the first gamete of the first parent will fertilize the first gamete of the second parent. We're going to have capital letter R, small letter R. And again, because it fertilizes twice, the first gamete again will fertilize another gamete having capital letter R, small letter R. Then the second gamete of the first parent fertilizes another gamete of the other parent having capital letter R, small letter R. And lastly, would fertilize another gamete having capital letter R, small letter R. And we call this F1 generation, which stands for first filial generation. Then we have got four offspring that are produced under first filial generation. Then when Mendel looked at this four offspring, he noticed that all of them are capital letter R, small letter R, and all of them are red in color. He then concluded that red is dominant over white, and white is recessive. We have already said that the capital letter R denotes the dominant allele, and the recessive allele it is represented by small letter R. Then Mendel again did what we call inbreeding. He did what we call inbreeding by taking a brother and a sister. Inbreeding is another type of crosses or of crossing, which involve the crossing of organisms that are closely related, like a brother and a sister. It simply means that Mendel took a brother and a sister, then he crossed them. Then he took capital letter R, small letter R, and capital letter R, small letter R, SP2. He referred them as P2. Again, meiosis must take place here. Why meiosis? I have already said that meiosis performed two functions. Number one is to reduce the number of chromosomes into half. Number two is the formation of gametes. Then after meiosis, the gametes are going to be formed. Gametes are going to be formed. We are going to have capital letter R, small letter R as the gametes of the first parent, and capital letter R, small letter R as the gametes of the second parent. After gametes, fertilization must take place. After the gametes, fertilization must take place. And I have already said that one gamete of a parent fertilizes twice on other parent. Then we are going to have capital letter R fertilizing capital letter R. Then the offspring is going to be capital letter R, capital letter R. Again, capital letter R will fertilize small letter R, having capital letter R, small letter R. Then the small letter R of the first parent will fertilize capital letter R of the second parent, having capital letter R, small letter R. If the characteristics are the same, we start with capital letter. Then the small letter R will fertilize small letter R, having small letter R, small letter R. We call this F2 generation. All in all, we are having four offspring. We are having four offspring. Then from the four offspring, we are going to look now at the phenotype and the genotype. We are going to look at the phenotype of the offspring and the genotype of the offspring. I have already said that the phenotype simply means the physical appearance of an organism, and the genotype is the genetic makeup of an organism. In other words, in phenotype, we're going to look at the characteristic only here. We're going to look at the characteristic, and we are dealing with the characteristic of color here. The characteristic is color. Then we're going to look at the offspring of the second filial generation. How many are red and how many are white? Then after looking at the four offspring, the first offspring is capital letter RR. The second offspring is capital letter R, small letter R. The third offspring is capital letter R, small letter R. And the last offspring is small letter R, small letter R. Then when we look at this four offspring, three of them are red in color and one is white in color, which means the phenotypic ratio of F2 generation is three red is to one white. Is three red is to one white. Then let us look at the genotype. The genotype simply means genetic makeup of an organism. It simply means genetic makeup of an organism. And we have already said that the genes are represented by allele, and alleles represented by letters, letters in pairs. And these alleles can be homozygous or heterozygous. The alleles can be homozygous or heterozygous. Then when talking about homozygous allele, homo means same. When talking about homozygous allele, it simply means that they are going to have the same letters, capital letter RR and small letter RR. But in heterozygous allele, they are going to have a capital letter and small letter, capital letter R, small letter R. Then when we are looking at the genotype or the genotypic ratio, we are going to look at the homozygous and heterozygous. We are going to look at the homozygous and heterozygous. Then let us look at the offsprings of the second filial generation. I have said we have got capital letter R. The first one is capital letter R. The second one is capital letter R, small letter R. The third one is capital letter R, small letter R. And the last one is small letter R, small letter R. Then how many homozygous red do we have? We are having only one homozygous red, which is one capital letter R, capital letter R. How many heterozygous red do we have? We are having two heterozygous red, which is two capital letter R, small letter R. And how many homozygous white do we have? We are having only one homozygous red. Sorry, homozygous white, which is small letter R, small letter R. Which means the genotypic ratio of F2 generation is 1 is to 2 is to 1. 1 capital letter RR, 2 capital letter R, small letter R, and 1 small letter R, small letter R. Then these ratios can again be converted into percentage. The ratios can be converted into percentage. For an example, let us look at the phenotypic ratio of 3 is to 1. 3 red is to 1 white. We can convert this into percentage. When we are converting this into percentage, we are going to see 3 which represent red flowers, or the plant with red flowers, over 4. 4 is the number of offspring produced, multiplied by 100 because we are looking for percentage. Then it's going to give us 75% of red plants. And then again we're going to see 1 over 4 multiplied by 100 is going to give us 25%, which means the phenotypic percentage of F1 generation, of F2 generation is 75% is to 25%. Then let us turn this genotypic ratio into percentage. We have said the genotypic ratio of F2 generation is 1 capital letter RR, 2 capital letter R small letter R is to 1 small letter R small letter R. Then we are going to say 1 capital letter R divided by 4 multiplied by 100, which is going to give us 25%. And again, we'll say 2 capital letter R, small letter R, divided by 4, multiplied by 100, which is going to give us 50%. And again, we're going to say 1 divided by 4, 1 small letter R, divided by 4, multiplied by 100, which is going to give us 25%, which is simple mean the genotypic percentage of F2 generation is 25 is to 50 is to 20 is to 25. This is how the ratios and the percentage are. I'm saying the difference between phenotype and genotype is this: that phenotype is the physical appearance of an organism, genotype is the genetic makeup of an organism. Let us go to short commercial break. We will be back after this discussing the monohybrid crosses. Then let us look at dihybrid inheritance now. The law of independent assessment was discovered when Mendel decided to try a more complicated experiment and use a pear plant with two unrelated characteristics, and this is called dihybrid cross. Dihybrid cross is the crossing of two unrelated characteristics. Then the details of dihybrid cross experiment. Then Mendel chose plants with different seeds appearance. They were yellow and smooth, which means one parent was having a yellow color and smooth seed. Another parent was green in color and it has got wrinkled seeds. Then yellow is represented by capital letter YY and smooth is represented by capital letter SS. And green was represented by small letter YY and wrinkle was represented by small letter SS, which means yellow smooth is dominant over green wrinkled because yellow smooth is represented by capital letters while green wrinkled is represented by small letters. And then in order to find the gametes of the two parents, the first parent must cross itself and another parent cross itself. Then let us start with the first parent with capital letter YY and capital letter SS. It simply means that the first Y will cross with the first S having capital letter Y, capital letter S. And again, the first Y will cross with another S having capital letter Y, capital letter S. The second Y cross with the first S having capital letter S, I mean capital letter Y, small letter S. And that again crosses with the last S having capital letter Y, a capital letter S, which means the gametes of the first parent are going to be four: capital letter Y, capital letter S. The same applies to the green wrinkled parent. We are going to have four small letter Y and S gametes. Four small letter Y and S what? S gametes of the second parent. Which means we've got four gametes of the first parent and four gametes of the second parent. Then we are supposed to draw a Punnett square. Then after drawing a Punnett square, we insert the gametes horizontally and vertically. Then the gametes of the first parent, they are going to be horizontal. We're going to have capital letter Y, capital letter S, capital letter Y, capital letter S, capital letter Y, capital letter S, capital letter Y, capital letter S. We're going to have four gametes horizontally, and the gametes of another parent are going to be small letter Y, small letter S, 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 four of them. Then after that, fertilization will take place. Fertilization is going to take place. Then we're going, capital letter Y, capital letter S is going to combine with small letter Y, small letter S, having capital letter Y, small letter Y, capital letter S, small letter S. 16 offsprings are going to look alike. They are going to be heterozygous, yellow smooth, because yellow smooth is dominant over green ringed. Then these are the offspring of F1 generation. Then we are going to take a brother and a sister. Then we did what we call inbreeding. Then we're going to take capital letter Y, small letter Y, capital letter S, small letter S as the first parent. And again, it's going to be crossed with the same parent, which is capital letter Y, small letter Y, capital letter S, small letter S. Then at the end of the day, we're going to get the phenotypic ratio of 9:3:3:1. We're going to get the phenotypic ratio of 9:3:3:1. Then, and I have said, in order to get the gametes, the parent must cross itself. Then, the first parent, we're going to have capital letter Y is going to cross with capital letter S, having capital letter Y, capital letter S. Capital letter Y will cross with small letter S, having capital letter Y, small letter S. Small letter Y crosses with capital letter S, having small letter Y, capital letter S, and small letter Y crosses with small letter S, having small letter Y, small letter S. Because the parents are the same, even the gametes are the same, we are going to draw a Punnett square, and we write these gametes horizontally and vertically. We are going to write these gametes horizontally and vertical. Then we're going to have capital letter Y, capital letter S as the first gamete, capital letter Y, small letter S as the first gamete, small letter Y, capital letter S as the third gamete, and small letter Y, small letter S as the fourth gamete. They are both written horizontally and vertical. Then at the end of this crossing, we are going to have 9 yellow smooth. We are going to have the phenotypic ratio, which is 9:3:3:1. 9 is going to be yellow smooth. 3 is going to be green smooth. 9 yellow smooth, 3 green smooth. Again, 3 is going to be yellow wrinkled, and 1 is going to be green wrinkled, which means the phenotypic ratio of 9:3:3:1 stands for 9 stands for yellow smooth, 3 stands for green smooth, 3 stands for yellow wrinkled, and 1 stands for green wrinkled. Then let us look now at the independent recombination of characteristic. As we have said earlier, that Mendel's law of segregation states that every individual possesses a pair of allele for any particular trait, and that each parent passes randomly selected copy of only one of these to its offspring. I'm saying Mendel's law of segregation states that every individual possesses a pair of allele for any particular trait, that each parent passes randomly selected copy of one of these to its offspring. The offspring then receives its own pair of allele for that trait. Whichever of the two allele in the offspring is dominant determines how the offspring expresses that trait, e.g. the color and the height of the plant, the color or of animal fur. I will repeat this. Mendel's law of segregation states that every individual possesses a pair of alleles for any particular trait, and that each parent possesses a randomly selected copy of only one of these characteristics. Then the offspring then receive its own pair of alleles for that trait, which, however, the two alleles in the offspring is dominant, determines how the offspring express that trait. Then, however, due to the fact that each parent passes a randomly selected copy to its offspring instead of predefined copy, there is an independent recombination of characteristics arising from the passing on the allele from parents to the offspring. Therefore, the offspring can end up with a recombination of paternal or maternal chromosome. For an example, let's say the first parent is having capital letter TT and another parent is having small letter TT. The offspring is going to have capital letter T and small letter T. Then capital letter T is either for paternal or maternal, and small letter T is either for maternal or paternal. This is what we mean by independent recombination of characteristics. I will repeat this. Due to the fact that each parent passes a randomly selected copy of its offspring instead of predefined copy, there is an independent recombination of characteristics arising from the passing on the allele from the parents to the offspring. Therefore, the offspring end up with any recombination of paternal or maternal chromosome. Then again, let us look at lastly, let us look at quantitative and qualitative characteristics. Hereditary genetics characteristics passed down from parents to their offspring can be placed into two main categories. They can be qualitative and quantitative. Then let us look at qualitative characteristics. Qualitative characteristics are characteristics such as eye color or gender, whether the organism is male or female. In other words, qualitative characteristics involve a particular quality of organism. Qualitative characteristics are such as eye color or gender of an organism, whether the organism is male or female. In other words, qualitative characteristics involve a particular quality of an organism. Then let us look at the quantitative characteristic. Quantitative characteristics are involved in the quality such as height, weight, or milk production.
This grade 12 lesson was proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.